Every January since the revolution, Tunisians have taken to the streets to vent their anger over high unemployment and corruption. 7 years on, some of the same problems remain. Orfa Lamloum is the country manager in Tunisia for the NGO International Alert.
People are very angry and very frustrated by the lack of hope and lack of perspective.
Protests that are usually confined to Tunisia's socially deprived west and south regions have this time spread to the Tunis capital.
All our research show that the situation of people, inhabitants of this marginalized area, especially youth, has deteriorated since the collapse of Ben Ali.
With youth unemployment at more than 35%, according to the UN's International Labour Organization, many Tunisians feel that the revolution remains unfinished, explains Monica Marx. She's a Tunisia expert at Oxford University.
Back in 2011, the battle cry of the revolution was Shughl Horiya Karama Watania, which means work, freedom, and citizenship, like the dignities of citizenship. Tunisians got freedom. They have elections now. There's a democratic form of government and there's freedom of expression, and they wouldn't have it any other way. But when it comes to the other demands for shughl, for work, and for karama, dignity, those demands have not been met. So these protests that we're seeing in Tunisia right now, they didn't come out of the blue. People are upset by many of the same things that upset them 7 years ago. And with each year that it continues and these demands aren't met, you know, the frustrations keep building.
Frustrations reached boiling point early January when the government unveiled this year's budget aimed at raising taxes and prices of basic necessities while at the same time scrapping subsidies. But the social cost is too high, warns Marx.
Austerity measures are hard enough for Western countries. Imagine if you just came out of an authoritarian state, you're trying to go into a democracy, and then all of a sudden you get austerity measures. Well, naturally, it increases old regime nostalgia. Naturally, it would make people feel less confident in democratic governance.
In December last year, the International Monetary Fund urged Tunisia to take urgent action to address its economic problems, first and foremost being its huge public deficit.
The IMF has promised loans to Tunisia, but those loans have been made contingent almost entirely on cutting public sector spending. And there has been very little emphasis placed on reforming corrupt and clientelist networks, which is just as important. And arguably, it would be a lot easier for Tunisia to do that right now. A lot of poor people in the country just don't have anything left to give. However, tackling corruption and clientelism, that would be arguably more doable. And it would have a huge impact because a lot of the protests that we've seen have started largely because of anger at unfair, corrupt hiring practices.
2 years ago in January as well, huge protests erupted in Kasserine in Tunisia's south after a 27-year-old car mechanic named Reda Yayawi was electrocuted after climbing a transmission pole to foment further action by protesters. Days beforehand, Reda had been turned down from a job interview due to corruption, says Marx.
The local public company, the phosphate company, was not hiring people transparently, fairly. To get a job there, you would have to bribe someone like 3,000 or 4,000 dinars. And this is rampant in public sector jobs. They're not given meritocratically, they're given corruptly.
Orfa Lamloum traveled to Kasserine at the height of the unrest in 2016 and co-directed a documentary called Voices from Kasserine.
Voices from Kasserine actually is a 52 minutes documentary. We traveled through the governorate of Kasserine, which is a stronghold of the revolution of January 2011, to hear the words of its inhabitants.
The documentary gives a voice to farmers, unemployed graduates and even child smugglers who benefit from Kasserine's close proximity to the Algerian border. One profile stood out.
I was really troubled by my interview with a kid smuggler. He avoided during all the interview, looking at the camera. He was not comfortable speaking, and it was somewhat violent situation. We interrupted the recording to explain again the purpose of the documentary and ask him if he wanted to continue. And I felt like I was dragging his words out of him. It really shows the vulnerability of youth in Qasrin and even kids in Qasrin, and where for some youth, smuggling is the only opportunity to survive.
Tunisia has been held up as the only successful democratic transition among the Arab uprisings, but its struggling economy is unable to meet the aspirations of its young people, making them fertile prey for groups like the Islamic State armed group. Tunisia's president, Beji Caid Essebsi, has vowed to improve the lives of young Tunisians during a visit last week to a youth center in a working-class suburb of Tunis. He handed out loans and promised to improve aid for the poor and provide health care. Though these measures are welcome, Lamlum says the government's response is short-sighted.
I think the approach of the state through, for example, this new measure, are aimed to absorb the poverty, but not to deal with the underlying causes to poverty and inequality. We need strategy to fight against unemployment. We need measures to address the condition that have reproduced inequality.
For Monica Marx, it's too little, too late.
It's late and it's insufficient and it's not going to solve the problem. You know, but at least it's something different. That having been said, yeah, it's insufficient and it's too late. The help that most families are going to get from these reforms that they announced this week only amounts to about $12 to $20 a month.
The country's economic challenges have taken the shine off its democratic gains. But public trust in politicians is also lacking.
There is really big, huge lack of trust from youth in the local authorities. Lack of legitimacy for local authorities. Because Tunisia, till now, 7 years after the revolution, the fact that the municipal election haven't taken place means that the local authorities are still not legitimate.
So what remains of Tunisia's revolution? And is the hope it inspired still intact? Or for Lamlum?
We gained some new things like the new democratic constitution, democratic election, freedom of expression, the right to protest despite the arrests of hundreds of protesters recently. Of course, those gains are still fragilized, but I think a dynamic civil society is still the main guarantee against the complete return of the old regime. What did it fail to give us? It failed to offer hope for the majority of youth today, as well as an improvement of living condition that assures the protection of their dignity, because the dignity was the key demand in the 2011 revolution. All the government have failed to engage real reform, the reform of justice, the reform of the administration. The result is the rise of corruption in the country.
For Marx, the West is also partly to blame for Tunisia's current crisis.
Tunisia is the only Arab Spring country that managed to create a democratic form of government. But it's not getting nearly as much financial help as Egypt is getting, for example, from the United States. The government of Egypt, which is a worse dictatorship than it was under Mubarak, is getting loads and loads of financial money, while Tunisia is getting a trickle of that. So, you know, there's a real need to put our money where our mouth is more. And secondly, I think we've been complicit by obsessing over Islamists and obsessing over terrorism, obsessing over peaceful Islamists like the Ennahda Party, but also obsessing over violent extremist terrorists and relatively less time thinking about problems of social justice, which are ultimately much more crucial in some ways for Tunisians.
It was frustration over joblessness and corruption that led a young street vendor by the name of Mohamed Bouazizi to set himself on fire triggering Tunisia's revolution and the fall of former president Zinedine El Benali. Today's current austerity protests suggest that little has changed. Optimists say that revolutions take time, but critics warn that populations are impatient and that unless the government takes real structural reforms, the potential for further instability remains. قاعدين نعيشوا كذب في بوبالا دي فجر نجر مانجو مكر ما نعرف مونجالا دي فجر نجر ماما مانجو مكر نجر ماما هوني خنجة برشا غمة فات كلام جيب كلام في الظليمة ما فما سلام لومتني كيما فما ملام رسم الدانكس ديما قدام بتبيعتو الدور وفي جيبي ماخذاش الهف بتبيعتو صغري كبري تعدى شيخة مخي خف بتبيعتو راسي زمزم كمل عزي روح لف عنا كان ضرب صبات مش الناس كله قرات هوني تاكل بيت هوني تاكل لبوش مات لي ما عجبو يتكلات هوني كلها كيف كيف نمبر وان يا عفات هوني مازال العرض قديم يمتع الله يا الكريم هوني لعم الدم نبهيم ليبو زيت خالد الرحيم هوني نهار العيد مسرحية الزعيم
لا نندبهم هوماني هوماني هوماني
زنقة الشيطان ترى ولاد الحومة لك شمعة ما تحلش اخطاك اخطاء في حتى من ربع ساعة واللي تلكع من شربة يولي ينفخ عالصلاة عيشة درغة منقص قاطة بلديني كذبة شوكولاتة يزي من دمعة سيالة يزي يزي مدى فالة يزي مكلة الوكالة قداش من واحد فينا لعبوا له لعبة شنقالة ولا بجنب برحيط نمالة على كلا مجالة تجست قرب ما تحلبت الرجلة كينا في القلب ما عدش تاكل لغة ضرب بدني مخي تخرب من ظالمني بيحو كلب ادخل لحو مناتي قرب من ريحتك لعبت تتهرب كيف حيح خدوات زرب لابدا كانت الناس خايفين خايفة كانت الناس لابدين لا تحب لا تمنى خانك الزمن هوني ما فما لا فما لا فما عشنا طحنا قمنا نلقى وروحنا في الدربو تحبونا شكون نسبو دي شكون تحبونا نسبو
لا نندبهم
راك مسكة راك لاسكة راك سمعت الحمد شيخ شرستة راك مسكة راك لاسكة راك سلعك الحمد شيخ شرستة